Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Today, a commercially and financially viable postal service remains vital to the American economy. As technology, commerce, and society evolve, so too must government and corporate business models. This is as true for the U.S. Postal Service as for any other enterprise. As one of the nation's largest employers, the Postal Service is ultimately dependent upon the quality and commitment of its employees to meet its objectives. They are the heart of its brand. Yet significant shifts are occurring in the workplace, and as a result, the Postal Service is redoubling its efforts to attract and retain high-quality employees. With us this morning to discuss the strategic human capital efforts of his organization is our special guest, Tony Villante, Chief Human Resource Officer and Executive Vice President at the U.S. Postal Service. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Bill Takis, IBM's U.S. Postal Service industry leader. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Al.
Tony, let's start off by learning a little bit more about your organization. There's no doubt that most of our listeners are very familiar with the U.S. Postal Service, but can you give us an overview of its history and its evolution?
Oh, yes, I can. Well, obviously, everyone knows that the Postal Service started with the beginning of the country. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is to talk about the last three major changes in the history of the Postal Service, the dynamic things that have happened as a result of legislative change. So let me go back to prior to 1971. The Postal Service, you would look at the Postal Service as a federal agency, had appropriations. It was a monopoly. It was similar to a lot of other agencies, very bureaucratic in nature. And, you know, we had some service requirements, but basically, we maintain our universal service obligation. Yet 1971, the Postal Service had legislative change. We went from an appropriated agency to a break-even situation. We still had the monopoly, but there was a turn from the traditional federal bureaucracy to a business-like entity. Service became much more critical to the Postal Service. We had a measurement system in place, and that evolved over time through this period to become very comprehensive, and we still maintained our universal service obligation. Recently, we had some more legislative change, which will and has significant impact on the Postal Service. You know, we're now allowed to have part of our business competitive, so we'll have a profit mentality versus our break-even mentality. We're no longer completely a monopoly. We'll be a competitive environment. You'll go from that business like running the Postal Service to more of an entrepreneurial need or an entrepreneurial leadership to take advantage of some of the benefits that we got through the new law in the competitive area. There's going to be a lot more accountability in our future than there has been in our past due to the pass of this recent legislation. We will have a regulator, and there's going to be a lot of accountability built into the new system. Throughout all this dynamic change, we maintain that universal service obligation to all the citizens of the United States.
Now, Tony, that term of universal service begins to paint a picture of a general scale of the operations. But can you clarify that for us a bit more? Can you give us a sense of the size of the Postal Service, the overall budget, the number of full-time employees and contractors that you use?
Sure. I mean, just to get a sense of the Postal Service, in any community in the United States, you go downtown and there's a post office. You know, we have over 38,000 facilities. We have the largest fleet for delivery and transportation. We have, you know, a combination of career employees, non-career employees, contractors, over 800,000 people are employed with the Postal Service. And we like to say, you know, we deliver everywhere, every day, regardless of what part of the country, we make service available to everyone in the United States, both in the Continental 48 and all the territories and states outside of the Continental 48.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that overview of the size and scope of the Postal Service and the overall organization. But now could you turn your attention to tell us a little bit more about your specific role within the Postal Service, in particular your duties and responsibilities as the Chief Human Resources Officer and Executive Vice President?
Well, as the Chief Human Resources Officer, I'm responsible for all the human resources functions in the Postal Service. That includes our labor relations, That includes all our employee relations activities. It also includes our diversity EEO training and development activities. So I have my department broken up in, along those lines. Labor relations is one group. Employee relations, or we call it employee resource management, is a second group. And my third group is development and diversity. Also, as executive vice president, I'm a member of the executive committee for the Postal Service. So I also deal with issues other than human resources issues.
Well, and given the operations of the Postal Service and the vast scale and scope and number of employees, those responsibilities certainly pose a lot of challenges, I'm sure. But what would you say when you look at your responsibilities and duties, what are those most important challenges, maybe the top three challenges that you faced? And what are you doing about this? How do you go about addressing this?
The three most significant things that I see happening, I think, you know, what's very important is information and data usage, technology and automation in our function. We're in the middle of implementing the largest human capital enterprise system in the world. Our shared services center handles all the personnel actions for almost 800,000 employees. That's up and running in Greensboro, and we're about halfway through the process of implementing that. That is a very critical to get our systems, to get our availability of data to all our managers and employees to be able to use it. And eventually, we want to get to a self-service status for human resources offerings. So whether it's management self-service, what a manager needs from human resources to do his job, he should be able to have that at his fingertips on a computer through self-service. Or whether it's an employee who has personnel actions, whether it's retirement, whether it's health benefit changes, or any of the other changes that come as a result of employment, we want employees to have that at their fingertips online and have it in a self-service mode. So that's the first thrust. I think the second thrust in an organization as large as the Postal Service and as labor intensive is to focus on employees. And a lot of that focus has to do with, you know, educating the employees. They need to understand what the future is all about. You need to work very diligently with our unions and management organizations to bring on some of the changes that I talked about earlier. I'd say over the last 5 or 6 years, we've had a very good run working with our management organizations and unions. We've made some major changes. We were able to resolve all our collective bargaining agreements. We're also able to work with our management organizations to implement a new pay-for-performance and evaluation system. So that's very critical to bring the workforce along with the corporation as things change. They need to be attuned to it. We need to change our systems and processes so it only enhances the changes. So we have to get the synergy of the whole organization. We've got to get our employees to understand, to learn what the changes are about, learn how they can contribute, learn the impact in them. And so they understand what's going on. They have a say. They have a voice. They have an avenue. But also, you know, what I find most important is be able to educate employees about the future so they could start learning to make decisions now or preparing themselves for decisions for the future so they'll be able to make the right decisions so they can continue in a successful career. And we're very happy with our workforce, and we want that workforce to stay with us.
Now, Tony, you started with the Postal Service back in 1978, I believe. Could you describe for our listeners your career path and what attracted you to the Postal Service?
I started in 1978 as a career employee. I'd worked as a temporary non-career employee since 1973. Then I got a job as a teacher for a short period of time, was laid off. My father had been a career postal employee. He said to me after I sat around the house for one summer, he said to me, I think that they're hiring at the Postal Service. I heard the discussion, and maybe you should do that for a while you're trying to figure out, you know, what you want to do as your next career move. So I said, okay, Dad. I went down and I took the test and I scored and I was hired by the Postal Service. That time we had LSM. Letter sorting machines. They were a mechanized sorting machine. I became an LSM operator. You know, it's a sad social comment, but my first year in the Postal Service, I made almost 2.5 times I made as a teacher because I worked a lot of overtime. So at that point, I said maybe this is a lot brighter future economically for me than my chosen path as being a high school teacher and an athletic coach is what I was doing at the time. So I stayed with the Postal Service for a few years as a bargaining unit employee. I actually served a period of time as a union official and steward where I started with in New Haven. I had educational background, so I applied for and was promoted into a training and development assignment in New Haven. And then I kind of migrated towards labor relations and human resources, and I moved through the organization in what at that time was the Northeast region. And over a period of about 6 to 8 years, I went from the local level to at that time we had districts to the district level. And then and later on in that period, I worked at the regional level. And most of that time I spent in labor relations and human resources. However, I did have some assignments and details in other facets of the business. And then from the Northeast region, I was there for about a year and a half, and I got promoted to headquarters labor relations as a Postal Service career executive. And I stayed there from 88 through 96, and I had about three or four different positions in labor relations, basically contract administration, grievance and arbitration, and negotiation throughout that period. And then in 96, I had an opportunity to go to Baltimore, Maryland as the district manager for the Baltimore District. I was there from 96 through 99 on the operational side, general management position. Then in 1999, I got promoted to vice president of labor relations. And I was in that position for a number of years. And then with 2 years ago, I was promoted to the chief human resources officer.
Well, it's certainly a broad set of experiences. So I'm curious, how have these experiences prepared you for your current leadership role? And how has it shaped your management approach and your leadership style?
You just don't have one perspective. You have a perspective as a bargaining unit employee, as a frontline manager, as a mid-level manager, and then as an executive both in human resources and in operations. I believe I've been able to use all those experiences to temper my decision-making. It's not just a one-sided decision. I can look at it from a district manager's position or an operations position, customer service position, understand what impacts them and try to understand what I'm doing. How does that impact them and what's the best way to do it? So it gives you, you know, both the depth and the breadth of the organization, and you put that into your decision-making process. Postal Service, every decision impacts a lot of our operations and a lot of our people, and you've got to take it all into consideration. And one of our philosophies is we don't want to create distractions for our employees, for our managers. You don't want to create chaos in this type of system that we have, because it's a flow of mail through a building into delivery, and you got to keep everything flowing. You don't want to just go out and create distractions that have no value. So you have to really focus on your decision-making to make sure that you don't do that.
Good. Thank you. What is the U.S. Postal Service's human resource strategy? We will ask Tony Villante, Chief Human Resource Officer and Executive Vice President at the United States Postal Service, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.